Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
But I've entitled our last message in this miracle series, Whatever You Say. Okay. Whatever You Say. So turn in to Mark chapter 11 and verse 20. That's where we'll begin today, this morning. Mark chapter 11, verse 20, and welcome to all those that are joining us online. Glad you're with us. Mark chapter 11, verse 20. Now, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw a fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Church, we don't have faith in our faith. We have faith in God. Amen? And it's an important distinction. It's an important truth that our faith not in our faith. Our faith is in God. Amen? Verse 23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you have received them and you will have them. And then verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for giving us your word. We thank you that the word became flesh and lived the life we were all supposed to live. Jesus, you lived a perfect life, a sinless life. And then you died the death that we all deserve to die on a cross. You absorbed the punishment of our sins. And for that, we are forever grateful. We are eternally grateful. Holy Spirit, today, let us have a revelation of the great love that God has for us and the extent in which he was willing to go to purchase us, to have us be a part of his family with him in heaven for eternity. And Holy Spirit, let us understand the gift of righteousness that's available to us, that we can't earn it, but we just must believe and receive it. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Whatever you say, whatever you say, what are you saying? You know, I can pretty much, in a very brief time with somebody, tell you the quality and the condition of their life. And the quality and the condition of your life is not based on your circumstances, but is based on what's flowing out of your heart through your mouth with the words that you speak.
Okay. Come on, Pastor Mike.
The power of life and death.
That's right.
Are in your tongue.
Indeed.
I know people who their life is full of blessing and have very few needs, if any. And yet, their life, when listening to their words, sucks. And then others, and you look at their life and their circumstances, and you can clearly go, those circumstances suck. Yet, out of their mouths, out of the abundance of their heart, their life is full of blessing and abundance and peace, a peace that transcends all understanding. Hallelujah. See, when God blesses you, there's no sorrows added to it. But when you think you're blessed in this world and you do it without God, there's not always no sorrows added to it. I know I found at times that, you know, I had a lot more. My bank account was a lot fuller. I had lots of assets. And it was amazing how there was more anxiety with all of that than times when we were first married and we had nothing but debt. And yet we had a peace and a prosperity that was beyond understanding. There was a freeness. And that freeness is available now, but not when you put your trust in your things. Not when you put your trust in your investments or your bank account or your wallet. But your trust is still and always in Him. And back when we didn't have a much of a bank account or wallet to put our trust in, we didn't have that to rely on. We were forced to, well, we're going to find it in God. And praise God for that. You know, sometimes God hasn't released all of the breakthroughs and the finances and even some of the blessings into your life, because then it would release a lot of stress and anxiety because you would be afraid to lose it. But if you get to a place where you don't have it and you learn to faithfully steward that, God said, if you will be faithful with little, He'll give you much. Amen? And you don't want it before you're ready for it, because it comes with lots of sorrow when it's not from Him. Amen? So, Jesus says, if you speak to the mountain, if you speak to the mountain, it will move. It didn't say, ask God to move the mountain. It didn't say, speak to God to move the mountain. It said, you speak to the mountain. See, your mountain obeys your voice. You know, so many times in prayer, we're talking to God about our mountains, our problems, our trials. And there's a place for that. But how about, instead of talking to God about our problems so much, why don't we talk to our mountains about our God? Huh? How about if we change the way we think about our mountains? And what if we instead talk to our mountains about, oh, you watch it. You don't understand my Father in heaven. You don't understand my Abba. And He said He's for me, which means you got no chance. And greater is He that is in me than any mountain, any problem, any trial that can ever stand before me. Amen? Man, that's worthy of writing down. That's worthy of tweeting, unless it's too many characters. Shorten it, abbreviate it. But come on, let's talk to our mountains about our God. Who our God is, how powerful our God is, and that our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God did it for the people in the Bible, God will do it for us. In fact, let's see what Jesus' brother James says. Turn with me to James chapter 5 for a moment. James chapter 5, verse 3. It says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or person availeth much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly, that it would not rain. And then it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Church, first of all, if you're suffering, if you're facing trials, as James chapter 1 says, if you're facing trials of many kinds, consider it pure joy. Because these problems, these trials, these mountains are not there to crush you.
Come on, Pastor Mike.
But they're there to grow you. To grow you so that you'll lack, James chapter 1 says, that you'll lack no good thing. So there's some good things in your life you're lacking. And so you're facing mountains and trials right now. Not because God's against you or punishing you, but because there's more good things he has in store for you. There's more growth. There's more reality. There's more revelation of who God is. And it's as we're faithful in trusting God and obeying God and speaking to our mountains, speaking to our trials, that we grow so that we'll lack no good thing. So change the way you're thinking about those trials. They're opportunities. Problems are opportunities. Mountains are opportunities. And Jesus wants you to speak to those things because your mountains and your problems obey your voice in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, they must submit to you. This is what's true. Now, James says the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. And I want you to understand something. If you are a believer, if you have been saved, you are righteous.
That's it.
Don't fall under the trap that so many, like myself, for years I thought, man, when I'm fasting, when I'm praying, when I'm in my Bible, when I'm doing everything right, then my prayers are powerful and effective. Question. Did you earn forgiveness? Did you earn righteousness? The Bible says righteousness is a gift.
Yes.
So you can't earn righteousness. Now, because you've received righteousness, you will live righteously. But your righteous living doesn't make you righteous. So, all you have to do is ask, believe, and receive. Write those three things down. These are the 3 points for today out of Mark chapter 11. The secret to answered prayers. There's an asking, there's a believing, and there's a receiving. But understand your confidence in asking, believing, and receiving is not based on your performance, but based on Jesus' performance. So begin by asking, believing, and receiving righteousness so that your prayers are powerful and effective. All you have to do is believe and receive that. And then James says, your prayers become powerful and effective. This is so important to grasp this, to get this. Okay? Jesus gives us the gift of righteousness. He gives us what he did, which then allows the authority and the power of righteousness to be released into our lives. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 28? He said, "All authority has been given to me. Therefore, go into all the world." Implying what? There's authority Jesus is giving you and me to go into all the world. And that authority is not based on your performance. Okay. I mean, think about this for a moment. If we are the ones that are called to advance the kingdom of God, is God going to withhold his authority for us as we go? Like, oh, no, you weren't in your Bible long enough. No, I'm not going to answer that prayer. It's not about you. Okay? That prayer isn't about you. It's about others. It's about the kingdom of God coming through you. God wants us out kicking butt. Okay? The devil's butt. He's not like, oh, no, you're going to learn that. I'm going to let you get whooped. What? No. Look, if there's a moment he's going to discipline you, that's great. But, like, he wants you to win. In fact, he's already won. But you see, here's the thing. You're not going to do much winning if you don't receive righteousness. You go, oh, Pastor, man, that just feels like, man, you're giving people a license to sin. No, when you ask and believe and receive righteousness, you can't sin. You're righteous. Like, righteous people don't sin. It's only when we forget we're righteous that we sin. It's only when we forget who we are in Christ that we go back to the vomit. That's right. It's only then. So get back to, I'm righteous. I'm a man or woman of God. Yes. And you're one of those two things. Either you're a righteous man or woman of God. So what are you today? Are you a righteous man? Are you a righteous woman? Believe and receive it so that you can walk in his power and his authority, so that the mountains in your life must obey you and what you say. It's really important here. It's not a semantic. It's a truth. It's a principle. So many Christians will wear the "What Would Jesus Do" bracelet, but then not consider how Jesus prayed. I'll tell you, he wouldn't pray like that. He didn't pray like that. And what is that? With doubt and unbelief. Jesus didn't even go, "Father, do this." He spoke things and they happened. He spoke those things that weren't as though they were. Now we speak those things that aren't though they, the things that aren't as though they were in Jesus' name. Jesus didn't have to because he was the one speaking it. It was in his name. Amen? Turn over to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And the other little boats were also with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat in the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace be with you." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? What did Jesus not do? He did not do what so many Christians do. Father in heaven, if it's your will, would you calm the storm? That's not what he did. The only time we see Jesus wrestling with the plans and purposes of God was in the garden. And he wasn't wrestling to not obey. He was just asking God, is there another way that I can obey? It wasn't a, hey, I don't want to do what you want me to do. It was, is there another way we can do what you want me to do? But in all the other times, it says, I only do what my Father shows me doing. See, when Jesus taught the disciples how to pray, that wasn't meant for public ministry. The Our Father was not meant for public ministry prayer. Why? Because he never did it publicly. Why did the disciples have to ask him, teach us how to pray? Because he didn't do it with them. At least up to that point, he said, this is how you pray. In essence, he's saying, this is what I do when I'm in my prayer closet. This is what I do when I'm up on the mountaintop with the Lord. This is what I do. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Give me today my daily bread. Forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Or lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. Forgive me of my sins as I forgive those who sin against me. For thine is the kingdom, the glory, and the power forever and ever. That prayer is meant for your prayer closet. As you're with the Father. Because Jesus made a way that you and I can be with the Father. Do you know that you can pray to the Father? To the Father, you have access to him. Yes, we can pray to Jesus, but Jesus made a way that you and I can go straight to the Father. You don't need no earthly father to go talk to God. He's the mediator. God removed that and said, come on in to my house. Ask of me, even of the nations. God said, and I will give them to you. What are you asking? What are you believing for? See, there are certain things and mountains and trials in our lives that we don't have to ask God for what is his will. Why? Because we know his will. It's found right here. If there's a mountain in your life and it's contradicting the Bible, guess what? That mountain must submit to the word of God. Coming out of your mouth. Out of your mouth. And as it comes out of your mouth, guess what? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So you may start going, I don't really have much faith. That mountain's so big. But you start saying, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Mountain, you don't understand how loved, blessed, and highly favored I am. I've been seated with him in heavenly places. I'm a joint heir with Christ. And greater is he that's in me right now. So mountain, get ready to be crushed. Maybe it's not a mountain. Maybe it's a valley. Come on. What did we sing about today? Valley, rise up. Valley, rise up. Years ago, I was praying for a young lady to be filled with the Holy Spirit. She desperately wanted the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as we were praying for her, the power of God was all over her. And you could just sense it was on her. She's crying. And the fire of God was tangible. And she really wanted her prayer language. And she says, I can't do it. I can't go. Holy Spirit just spoke to me. He said, 12 years old, you were abused. She just breaks. The Father's asking you to forgive them. Would you forgive them? She began to just say, Father, and she, I forgive them. I release them. Have mercy on them. And right at that moment, the Spirit of God burst out of her. She began to speak in tongues and prophesy. So it was interesting that Jesus had a condition after the asking, believing, receiving. He says, if you have an offense, if you have unforgiveness towards somebody else, you have to forgive them. So if you're not seeing the breakthrough, you're not seeing mountains move, begin by examining your hearts. Do you have any bitterness? Do you have any unforgiveness toward anyone? Peter says this, if I don't treat my wife right, God won't hear my prayers. You know, we're all about relationship here at Bethel. Why? Because God is all about relationship. He's all about reconciling our relationship with the Father, with Him, and with one another. It's a big deal. In our daily prayer that we're supposed to pray, there is a moment to receive forgiveness and give it every single day. Why? Because unforgiveness is like giving the devil a foothold into your life, access into your life. You might be going, man, Pastor, I deal with so much fear. We'll begin by looking, where have you opened the door? Okay, I'm not talking about fear all around. Do you understand, church? I've got more fear all around me now in my life, right now, present time, than I've ever had. Okay, I should be freaking out every single day, every minute, with the number of problems and number of situations and number of things God's calling me to do. But why am I not freaking out? It's not because I'm not strong. It's not because I'm that smart. It's not because I have like all the resources like in the bank to do all the things God's called me to do. I don't. It's because I've shut the door to the enemy to not allow fear inside of me, to not allow anxiety inside of me. And one of the ways you can assure yourself of not having fear, anxiety, or depression inside of you is being full of the Holy Spirit. Because if you're full of the Holy Spirit, there's no room for anxiety. There's no room for depression. There's no room for these things. See, my circumstances, your circumstances don't have to change for your life to change. For your reality to change. What we say matters. How we say it matters. What do you want? There are many times Jesus walked around many in need and said, what do you want to a blind man? What do you want? Jesus, is it not obvious what the blind man wants? Jesus knows what you want and what you need. But do you know what you want? Do you know what you're believing for? Do you know what you're receiving? Peter was amazed. He goes, look at this fig, it's withering. Like it was just 12 or 24 hours ago, Jesus, and you came to it and you cursed it. And look at it. And Jesus is like, why do you doubt? Why would you doubt? I cursed it. Why would you doubt that it would wither and die? Jesus didn't doubt. Now, what's interesting is it didn't happen. The manifestation of the curse didn't happen immediately. It was 12 or 24 hours later. But it happened the moment he did it. See, he asked, he believed, and he received it the moment he prayed. This is how you and I must pray. This past May, Pentecost Sunday, we had a healing night. What's funny about the healing night was I was still limping, recovering from my emergency back surgery that God chose to heal me through. But yet, I wasn't healed yet. I was still limping. And in worship, the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, you're going to get up and you're going to do a demonstration and you're going to pray for people for their back. Go, oh my God, you're hilarious. Okay. And then he said, you remember when 2 days before you had surgery? You remember when you told me that even if I didn't heal you, you'd pray for people from your wheelchair to get out of their wheelchair? Well, this is that moment. So those of you who were here, I got up and I go, Holy Spirit's going to do a demonstration. It's going to heal backs. So if you have a back problem, which it doesn't take a lot of faith in a large crowd to say, you got a back problem, okay? There's, right? That wasn't the faith move, okay? The faith was to pray and then immediately go, how's your back? Bend over. What can you do? Twist. And remember, there were, I know 4 out of 5 got healed, but only 1, maybe 2 actually said they got healed in that moment. And I said, okay, let's pray again. Move your back. And guess what I didn't do? I didn't go, God, if it's your will, like, and it's only your will. And I know you told me to get up here and pray for people with their back, but it may not be your will, you know, for them, even though you told me to come up here and pray for them, right? You know, I'm just obeying you. So like, man, it would be great. I really don't want to look bad, but hey, I'm willing, like, whatever you want, God, like, it's your will, not my will be done. You know, it's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, think about this. The greatest miracle that ever takes place in anybody's life, if you're a Christian today, has already happened. Amen. You've been forgiven. In fact, Jesus was confronted with the lame person that he said, your sins are forgiven. He said to the Pharisees, so that you know the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. Because which is harder, to forgive sins or heal? The answer, to forgive sins. There's nothing more difficult, and none of us has fully seen our sins fully forgiven. That won't happen until we hear, well done, good and faithful servant. We're believing that. We have faith for it, but we haven't seen it yet. But what we can see right now is when we lay our hands on the sick and they recover. So what I'm telling you is the more difficult miracle to believe for is your sins to be forgiven. But what did Jesus say? Forget not all the benefits in Psalm 103. For I have forgiven all of your sins and healed all of your sicknesses. And then Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Jesus suffered so that you and I could be healed. But Pastor, what about, look, those butts are above my pay grade. I don't know. But what I do know is how Jesus prayed. And what I do know is the Bible says these are the signs that will follow those who believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But what if they don't recover? The Bible says by his stripes you are healed. Look, I've got things I can tell you and why and this and that, but they really don't matter. What matters is what God's word says. And Jesus spoke to that fig tree, and guess what didn't happen? To the eyes. It didn't die to everybody's eyes immediately. How long will you have to wait to see the manifestation of your healing? I don't know. But what I do know is that if you ask, believe, and receive, it will be done. And faith is not what we see. Faith is the assurance of things, the assurance of what we hoped for. And there's an exchange of our hope when we ask, believe, and receive. See, it's no longer hope. It's no longer, oh, in the future, someday, somehow, I'll be healed. No, 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 no. Faith is, I'm healed now. And the manifestation of that healing is up to God. See, Jesus in prayer had already prayed for Lazarus. He said, Lazarus's not dead, he's sleeping. And then he says, Father, thank you that you hear me. And I say this not for my sake, but for all those that are listening. And then what did he do? He didn't say, Father, raise him from the dead. He said, Lazarus, get up. Now, he had to add Lazarus' name to the equation because he was standing in front of a cemetery. God spoke, and the universe came into existence. Ezekiel. Amazing miracle. Ezekiel 37, verse 1, it says, and the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the midst of the valley. It was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. And I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with the skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered over, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man. Say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. You know, Moses didn't get to enter the promised land because he wouldn't speak. There are many of you that are living in the desert today. Not because God wants you in the desert. He doesn't need you to go around the mountain one more time. It's because you won't obey and speak to your mountain. God came to Moses, who had known the authority that was with him through the staff. But God wanted him to understand, because of the authority that was with him, that he had the authority to speak. And he didn't speak, but he struck the rock. The first city Joshua conquered was conquered through the shout of praise, the shout of victory coming out of his mouth. Out of the abundance of his heart, they shouted and the walls came down. Church, walls are supposed to come down your life. They're going to come down because of the frequency, the vibration of your voice. And not just any voice, but a voice that comes from a heart that believes in God, that believes in his word. And so you speak to the mountains. You speak, you rebuke, you bind, you loose. You say, come alive.
Yes.
Man, we have an incredible responsibility and opportunity and privilege to use our voice for good, to bring life, and to pray like Jesus prayed. Listen, when you don't know what to pray, James chapter 1 tells you, ask God for wisdom. Ask him. But when you ask him, you have to believe and receive it. As if by just not hearing from him. Then you wait. You wait a little longer. You get in the word. Are these his words? He's going to speak to you. Then you go by faith and you do what you know is in heaven. And you pray what is in heaven to earth. You go, well, I'm just not sure what I'm supposed to do. You can't just sit there, okay? God can't direct. It's like a ship. A ship that's not moving can't be turned. You got to move. He's called you and I to walk by faith, not stay by faith, to walk by faith. And what are you going to walk by faith in? That which you know is the will of God. And if somebody asks for prayer for sickness, you know what the will of God is? To heal them. That is the will of God. Well, but what if he doesn't? Guys, you got to know that you know that you know. And you got to speak. You got to stop asking God to heal you. And you got to actually start going, sickness, get out of me in Jesus' name. And you go to somebody else who knows they have authority. An elder should know he has authority because hands were laid on him to give him authority. Authority to what? Speak to your mountains. If you don't know what the will of God is, then ask. But when in doubt, all you have to do is imagine what's in heaven. Because what did he say? Pray for heaven to earth. So if you're dealing with lack, is there any lack in heaven? No. So you can pray for the need to be met. If there's any sickness in your body, think about heaven. Is there any sickness? No. Then pray. You may not like this, but Jesus said it. He said this, your faith has healed you. Somebody's got to have faith. Whatever you say, what are you saying? Because whatever you're saying is becoming your reality. It's time to stop saying many of the things you're saying. And sometimes that saying, by the grace of God, you haven't allowed to come out of your mouth. That's good. Because we know the moment you speak it out loud, it now has 10 times more power than it was when it was in your head. But here's the problem with allowing those thoughts to go on your head. Those thoughts will get down in your heart. And then in pressured moments, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we've all said something, oh, I wish I wouldn't have said that, or I didn't mean to say that. And the reality, the truth is, you just didn't mean for them to hear that. Right? Would you bow your heads? Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. I thank you, God, that you didn't make it complicated. It's not easy, but we don't have to do it alone. You've given us grace to do the impossible, to believe the impossible. Lord, you are merciful and kind, not holding our sins against us. Lord, you're so good. God, you are the one who makes all things work out for good for those who love you. And today, I'm going to ask, do you love him? Do you love him? Will you believe him? Will you trust him today with your mountains? Will you believe that greater is he that's inside of you, that you have the power and the authority with your lips, with your words, to speak to your mountains and they must move, to speak to your valleys so they will rise up? All you need is faith of a mustard seed. If you're here and you know there's things in your life you need to surrender to Jesus, you're ready to surrender those to him, would you lift up your hand? Because I want to pray for you. Come on, surrender the mountains, surrender the situation, surrender the care, the worry, the anxiety. Come on, surrender it to him. Hands raised, the universal sign of surrender. Come on, some of you need both hands because you're holding it with the other hand. Get them both up. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Give it to Jesus today. Come on, surrender to him today. Surrender that relationship. Surrender that circumstance. Surrender that problem. Surrender that sickness. Surrender your future. Surrender. Come on, surrender to him. Jesus is able and willing to move in your life. He's willing to let the power of God flow through you and your lips to speak to your mountains. Come on, say Jesus. Say Jesus. I believe you died for me and my sins, and I receive your mercy, your grace. Today, I believe that you begin to work all things out for good in the name of Jesus. Now say this: I am loved. I am blessed. I am highly favored. I will live loved. And I will give them heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.